We have been in the last morning or two looking at John chapter 11. John chapter 11 tells the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And I wanted to take certain aspects of that story and apply them to our lives. And not just to learn the story in John 11. It's a thrilling story. It's a wonderful story. You have one of the I Am's that the boys have been studying. I am the resurrection and the life. But more than just the storyline, I was hoping that we could apply it to our lives. Because I think it is our story from the beginning of our Christian experience and all through to the very end. You'll find John chapter 11. And it was, of course, to the glory of God. That's what was said at the beginning of John chapter 11. This sickness is not unto death, but I want to glorify God through Lazarus. I want to take Lazarus and show what I can do in this life. And so as we started, we noted that Lazarus, we heard Mary and Martha say, Lazarus, he's dead. Jesus knew that. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to go wake him up. We talked about that a couple days ago. We talked about how we are dead. We are dead in trespass and sin. And when we're dead in our sin, we're really not glorifying God. We can't. Dead people, dead in sin, can't bring glory and honor to God. And the first place that God starts to bring glory to him is when he wakes us up from our death. From death into life. And we were dead in our sin. And we read some verses in the Bible that talked about in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. And so we found ourselves dead, but we found that there's power in his word. And that's what brought Lazarus from the dead. He's laying in that tomb for these 4 days. He's pretty bad off. He stinks already, they said. But Jesus, there's power in the word of Jesus, in the word of God. And we talked about that yesterday or the day before. He sends his word. He sends his word and brings life. His word is life. And he spoke and creation created and was made. Nothing was made without God speaking, and he spoke, and it was good. And out of nothing, he made something, and out of death, he brings life because of his word, the power that's in the word of God. And we were encouraged to get this word of God into us. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's committed to us the gospel of Jesus Christ to carry it forth to people who are dead and are in the process of perishing. They're not perished yet, but the process, and we noted those verses in the scriptures that talk about this process that goes on, and if we don't rescue them, they're dead and perishing. But we've been given a word of reconciliation, a word of life, to stop the perishing and to help them from death into life. And so we got Lazarus to a certain place. He's still not alive. We know what's going to bring him to life. We know what Jesus said when he said, Lazarus, come forth, calling him by name because he knows your name. And he doesn't call the United States, come forth. Ozone Park, come forth, whatever geographical area. He calls people by name, and he gets one of them from over here and one from over there and one from down there and one from up there. And one by one, and they're added, such as should be saved. Oh, yeah, there are times when droves come in. There are times when in a meeting, perhaps thousands might be in attendance and hundreds might give their lives to Jesus Christ. But it's here and there. It's in the marketplace. It's in the shopping center. It's in the school. It's in the community. It's in the church. It's in the village and cottage and wherever people are. People who are dead. He calls them. He calls them. And they have the opportunity to respond. There's one thing in the story that I've often thought of, and I like the little point that maybe could be overlooked rather easily. We find, well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You can quote the verse. You can look it up if you want to. But what does it say there? For by grace are you saved. Now, what's the next two words? Through faith. Through faith. it's by grace, the grace of God. It's only the grace of God that he calls your name. It's not you that took the initiative, it's he that did. He calls you. By grace, you're saved. But just because he called didn't save you, or did it? He called your name, but what did you need to do?
Respond.
Respond. By what? Faith. Faith in what? Faith in the one who's called me. Faith in that word that he speaks. Lord, I believe. He that believeth shall be saved. And it's by grace that we're saved, but it's through faith. If you turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, I hope you know who these Hebrews were, these Hebrew Christians, people who had followed or known the Lord, and they were having a hard time of it. And so the writer picks up his pen and, inspired by the Spirit, writes these words in the second verse of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, we also, well, I guess I should start at the beginning. Therefore, since the promise of entering the rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is the good seed. And it's not that there's a problem ever. The word of God always has power. The word of God is always living. But the word of God needs to be mixed. And here's one verse where it tells us, it did not profit. They heard the exact same thing that we heard. They heard. But for them, it didn't mean anything. It didn't help them at all. It didn't do any good for them. Why? Because the word was no good. No, the word was just as good for them as it was for you. But they did not mix that word of God with faith. It's so important that somebody believes, that somebody puts their faith in what it is that they hear preached. It's the word of God, and it doesn't necessarily have to only be limited to the message of reconciliation, the good news of salvation. But whenever we hear the word of God, whenever we read the word of God, we want to respond to the word that we read by faith. Lord, this is what you say. This is what your word says. The kids get it right. We sometimes convolute it when we grow up. The kids say, God said it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. That's really not right either. God said it, and that's the end of the story, whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, if you mix what God says with faith, Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, from a child you've known the scriptures. They've been given to you ever since you were a little kid. Your mom and your grandma pumped you full of the word of God. But Timothy, those scriptures that you heard did not necessarily make you wise unto salvation. The words that Paul uses is they are able. The word that you heard is able to make you wise unto salvation. But you need to respond to that word of God. And if you don't respond to the word of God, it's not going to profit you at all. You need to give heed to the things that you hear. You need to mix with faith. Jesus couldn't do many mighty works. He himself there, the one who spoke and created everything. But he came into a community in a town and he couldn't do much there. And it says he couldn't do much there because he couldn't find anybody to believe it. He couldn't anybody to believe in his word. And so he could talk all he wanted. The Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. But he found people that would not hear, would not listen, would not believe. Oh, but if you receive as many as believed. And oh, may God give us hearts that are filled with faith. Faith to believe what it is that he has spoken, what he has promised. You know, all through the New Testament, Jesus' life, when he went around, He was always looking for faith. I haven't found faith, not so great faith, not in all Israel, but this guy believed me. All the people that I came to, they didn't believe me. I came to my own, and my own received me not. But those who believe me, and here's a centurion, and here's a Syrophoenician, and here's a Jew, and here's somebody else. But if you just believe me, and if you just have faith, and then what did Jesus say? Faith as a... Yeah, a grain of mustard seed. One year at church, we gave out keychains for the men at Father's Day. Somebody went and got them all for us, and we gave everybody, every father, a keychain, like I needed another, like every father needed another keychain. But we got one, but this was special. It was a unique one because on the end of the keychain was a little tiny vial, V-I-A-L, not V-I-L-E. And in the little vial, there was a grain of mustard seed. Now, I had always heard, I always knew when I was growing up, they told me mustard seeds are very, very small, tiny little things. But now I had my own mustard seed. So I looked and, is there anything in this? Shook it, and well, yeah, it was there. And I got to see it if I looked real carefully, because that mustard seed is really tiny. Now, what's Jesus saying? Well, your faith is a grain. I know if you plant it, it can grow up and become a bigger tree and a large tree. But just a little bit, just a tiny little bit of faith. My father-in-law, when he was a young man, he was sick one time. And I didn't know him then. I don't know. Maybe it was even before he was married. I'm not sure. But as a young man, he tells the story of how he got some kind of a sickness, and I think it was some blood thing, and he was in danger of having his legs, or at least one leg, amputated. And that was concerning, obviously. And he was lying there and reading a book. It wasn't the Bible. He was reading another book about science. If you knew my father-in-law, that's not far from his. And he was reading about the Creator, God, and how God spoke, and God made everything out of nothing, ex nihilo. God just created out of dust. He made man. And out of nothing, he created when the plagues, and he was reading about all that God had created and the vastness of the universe. And then all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to him, and it dawned on him when concerning his own need. And the Lord dropped into his heart, I don't need a great big amount of faith. I just need a little tiny bit of faith because I have a great, great big God. And I have a great big God who responds to a little bit of faith. Now, I'm glad for that. Maybe you are too. I'm glad that he doesn't have to look at me last night in prayer meeting, and he doesn't have to look at me today, and he doesn't have to look at me and say, well, you need a really, you know, I wish your faith was a little vaster. You need a seed like you'd find in an apricot. You need a larger. That's too small. I can't respond. I can't respond to something so small. I'm looking for something greater. Oh, I want great faith. Well, great faith is not a bad idea, and that's a good thing. But I'm glad that he responds to a little bit of faith. You find that all through the scriptures. What was going on with Rahab? What was that all about? What's that story all about? She's a prostitute. She's living on the wall in Jericho. And next thing you know, she's in the chapter of faith. Hebrews, how do you find this? In the lineage of Jesus. How do you find something like this? How did she get there? What did she do? She exhibited faith. How did she exhibit faith? She hardly knew who God was. Exactly. She hardly knew who he was. But she had enough faith to believe that what she had heard, which was very, very little, she didn't even know maybe his name was Yahweh, but she had heard what he had done for his people, a God that delivered his people the way he delivered them. I don't know that God, and I'm not his people, but I'm scared stiff of a God like that and a people like that, because that's a great big God. And she believed so much that she did a little thing. She didn't drop to her knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. she got these two guys and she hid them. She took care of them. That little act of righteousness, that little act of faith and believing God, and God responded to that. We're going to spare that household. And when the walls come tumbling down, she's not going to be part of the tumbling down. You rescue her, she'll put the cord out the window. And oh, that little bit of faith, that little bit of faith moves mountains. That little bit of faith that you exercise. And you don't have to be a great person, you need to be a child of God. And you and I, as children of God, exercising our small faith, God can move mighty mountains and do tremendous works based upon faith. And I believe back in our John 11 story, I don't know how much faith was around. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot to go by, not even a mustard seed faith in Mary or in Martha. They were having some trouble. Jesus was trying to help them out. Jesus was trying to help them to see that, no, not sometime in the resurrection, 100 years. No, I'm not talking about then. I mean like right now. I am the resurrection. I can raise this one from the dead. And I don't think they got it, and I don't think they believed it. They weren't bad people, Mary and Martha, but they just didn't get it. They didn't have faith. Jesus responds to faith. I remember Sister Pearl Young, when she was in Ozone Park, I was just a teenager. But she came and she said, this is the way she put it. She said, the Lord in his word has obligated himself to do on behalf of his people what they have faith to believe him for. He's obligated himself. He's promised that what we have faith to believe him for, he will do. But then she said, if you don't have enough faith, your prayers will limp. That's the way she said it. Your prayers will limp, but God, even in his mercy, responds, even with our limping, lack of. But I never forgot, Lord, if I can believe you, not just say I believe, we can say those words 100 times over and try to pump ourselves up into some faith. But Lord, just drop into my heart a confidence in your word. In John chapter 2, I'm going to get to John 11 again in just a moment. But in John 2, the Lord wanted to respond to faith. There was a problem there at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And so what did the Lord tell those servants to do? We don't even know who those servants were. They were men of great faith. But what should they do? Well, get those big jugs and fill them with water. Half of us here probably wouldn't have done that. It's dumb. Fill them with water. Why? They don't want water. We got plenty of water. We don't want water. They're wanting wine. They don't want water. So what do you want us to fill them with water for? That's a dumb idea. I'm not going to do that. But these men did it. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, just do it. Just do what he says. Respond in faith, believe him. And so they did. And you know what happened as they drew out that water. So what happens in John 11? They get out to where Lazarus is buried in the sepulcher. And Jesus says, he prays. He knows what he's going to do and what he wants to do. And I think he's looking for faith. Some little mustard seed faith. Maybe not great faith, but there's nobody. They're all crying their eyes out. Lazarus is dead. It's over. It's finished. It's never going. We can't. And Mary and Martha included. And then Jesus joins them. I don't know why Jesus wept in the 35th verse. Maybe it was because he saw their lack of faith. Some say it's because he knew what he was going to do and he was going to have to bring Lazarus back from heaven to poor old earth. I don't know why Jesus wept. Maybe it was just to join in their sorrow. I don't know why he was what he's doing, but Jesus weeps. And then he says to the servants around, maybe some of the disciples, remember what he asked? What did he say to do? Move the stone away. Roll away the stone. It's almost as if the head cook were to say to the waitress, get the chicken, the frozen chicken out of the freezer and serve it to the guests in Watch Rock. Would you do it? I hope not. But if Jesus asked you to do it, I hope you do it. It's just that outlandish. It's just that outlandish. This is a dumb request. Now, why did Jesus need to have the stone moved away? Could not he have gotten Lazarus out of the grave with the stone still there? I mean, come on, he's going to raise the man from the dead. Do you think the stone's an impediment? You think the stone's on, oh, I got a problem here. I could raise the guy from the dead, but he's stuck. And I don't know how to get stones. I don't do stones. I can do everything else, but Jesus could have gotten him out there. Could have stood him right in front of everybody, but he wants to respond to faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. And so he said to those around him, move away the stone from the door. I don't know. If Jesus said it, would I do it? I hope so. If Jesus says it in his word, will you do it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I hope we all will, Michelle. I hope everyone will respond that same way. Lord, you said it, and I believe it. And Lord, you said it, and so I don't know, the water's at its highest place, but you said step in. I don't know where I'm going, but here we go. And he stepped in. That's faith. And when you step in, the waters will roll back. You'll reach the other side. Because he said it. The disciples or the servants moved away the stone from the door of the sepulcher. That, in my opinion, is a little act or deed of faith. I know it's impossible to get. I know we can't do it. But Lord, I believe that somehow I'm going to. I don't know where the smell's going to go. I don't know who's going in to get that. I don't know what's going to happen next. But Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to put my faith and my trust in you. Because faith in God can move a mighty mountain. And faith in God can calm a troubled sea. And faith can make a desert like a fountain. Impossible. No, possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. So, Lord, help my faith to increase. And I don't need, Lord, a great big, I got a great big God. But, Lord, help me to believe you. Help me to believe your word. Maybe we could sing together. In closing, faith in God can move a mighty mountain. It's not in the book. It's not a song that we can find any place that I know of. But I think many of you might know the chorus and that little song. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God can calm the troubled sea. Let's stand together as we sing. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith. Lord, as we go into this day, fill our hearts with faith. Faith, the exceeding great and precious promises, help us by faith to be partakers of the divine nature. For body, soul, and spirit, Lord. Oh, Lord, strength physically, strength spiritually. Help today, Lord, to overcome the stuff that shouldn't be in our lives. Lord, that maybe has held on for years, but Lord, we believe that you said you could save us to the uttermost, and you can help us, Lord Jesus, this day to be victorious. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. We commit ourselves to you. In your name we pray. Amen.